WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and after being sworn in for a second term, President Donald Trump pledged to sign a wave of executive orders reversing the Biden administration's policies on everything from the economy, energy, and immigration. ABC's Karen Travers is at the White House.
On those executive actions, a heavy focus on immigration and the border situation. He says he'll declare an emergency at the southern border and that all illegal entry will be immediately halted. A very, very challenging task for this incoming team, of course. He also emphasized drill, baby, drill, which got a big applause from that crowd in the rotunda of the Capitol. That was something we heard often from him on the campaign trail. He will roll back a lot of the Biden administration's executive actions when it came to offshore drilling bans.
After a bipartisan congressional luncheon, President Trump taking part in the first honors ceremony with troops positioned from all six armed service honor guard formations welcoming their new commander-in-chief. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A sitting Richland County supervisor has died. Marty Brewer, 77, of Richland Center, died Thursday at Meritor Hospital in Madison from complications due to his battle with lung cancer. Marty Kelly Brewer was born on Buck Creek in Richland County and spent his youth working the farm. He was a star student at Richland Center High School and even attended Badger Boys State. After graduating from UW-Platteville with a degree in political science, he moved to the Madison area and worked for American Family Insurance as a health underwriter. Once he retired after 30 years at American Family, he and Connie moved back to Buck Creek. Although his career was insurance, his political science degree didn't go to waste. Always involved in local politics and community service, from his days as a McFarland JC and Village Board member to his later years as a Richland County Board member and chair of the Richland County Board of Supervisors. A celebration of life will be held Saturday, February 1st, from 1 to 3:30 at the Pratt Community Hall in Richland Center. The Dane County Medical Examiner's Office identified a man who died while in custody of Madison police. According to the Wisconsin Department of Justice's Division of Criminal Investigation, Madison police officers responded on December 30th to the report of a stolen vehicle at a Best Western hotel. After the suspect identified as 32-year-old Richard L. Johnson of Madison ran off, officers caught him and took him to the Dane County Jail following EMS clearance. When police got Johnson to the jail, he was unresponsive and taken to the hospital where he died the next day. The cause and manner of Johnson's death are pending. DCI said no weapons were used. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks dismissed the 76ers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In the NBA, the Bucks with another win at home, 123-109 over the 76ers. Now, although they won by 14 points, head coach Doc Rivers and why he wasn't pleased by the Bucks' performance.
Yeah, I didn't think we attacked much at all. Honestly, we walked the ball up the court. Every time we ran the ball and advanced the ball, we got whatever we wanted. So it was just one of those games we couldn't find our pace. And yet we still won.
Chris Middleton, able to play 25 minutes, scoring, had 13 points and 8 assists, and was pleased they won those 4 games in a row at home.
We just wanted to take care of home court. We dropped a couple games at home earlier this month or last month that we thought we should have won, but to come and take care of home court in the fashion that we did, I'll take it.
Men's college basketball, UWM, losing to Robert Morris University, 81-79. 19 turnovers for the Panthers. That was their first loss at home since last March. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With high temperatures barely climbing above zero and winds whipping out of the northwest, it's creating dangerous wind chills. Where highs today are really feeling more like 25 below. A cold weather advisory is in effect now and switches to an extreme cold warning overnight tonight. We're to be feeling 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 3 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome one of Wisconsin's very own, comedian Tom Clark. Then Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and I discuss award season. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy, happy days to us all. You can be part of this fine production, 855-752-4842, 855-75-Civic. Got just PS on the board today, working very hard, all the cuts, doing the things that I know you don't want to do.
Especially really, with some of these really cuts. Did not want to do, and I apologize for being grumpy about that earlier.
You're fine. I think we got a lot of that going around these days. Harvey Kay, our favorite Delano Democrat, going to join us at 5 o'clock today. He's a professor emeritus of democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Democracy. Remember what that is, right? And of course, today, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. But I think we need to, you know, start where it's kind of obvious. Here we are. You know, when summer was around and into the fall, you know, I thought maybe we'd be in a different place.
There was so much hope.
There was hope. There was. It was like an energy that I really hadn't seen before in a long, long time. It's certainly since I've been doing the show, and unfortunately, it just didn't work out.
It just didn't.
Despite all the efforts, despite all the talk, despite all the displays of unity, the fight that people had.
Absolutely.
It just didn't work out. And so today we have to acknowledge.
I return to the press.
We have to acknowledge today that Detroit Lions lost.
Indeed.
And I'm so very sad about that. Do we have Dan Campbell?
We do.
Let's hear a little Coach Dan.
We definitely did that together. You know, we earned that loss together. But listen, all we can do is move forward. Man, you brush yourself off. I've already gone through the loss of a family member feeling to anger yesterday to now I'm back on my feet ready to roll. And I've acknowledged I can look in the mirror and say, you know what? You failed, man. What are you going to do about it? So that's where we're at. And move forward, man.
Coach Campbell, it does apply. I know. Obviously, I'm joking around. I got you hooked just a little bit. But really, what the man says, and he's a great coach, it applies. It applies in the Detroit Lions situation. It applies for those of us who, those 50% plus who did not vote for Donald Trump today, of course, being his inauguration. stages of grief. Before we get to some of that, and we will get to it, I mentioned Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Day today. Cap Times has a quick blurb about it. He addressed the 1967 National Conference on New Politics in Chicago. He took as his topic, quote, the three evils of society, war, racism, and poverty. As the Cap Times writes, on the 96th anniversary of the Nobel Peace Prize winner's birth, we recall his message to the conference, which gathered less than a year before his assassination. Here's a quote from King. "The problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power." A radical redistribution of political and economic power. As Cap Times wraps up, his words ring truer now than ever. Indeed. Thank you, Cap Times. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. You know, one of the good things about this day being both MLK Day and the inauguration of the insurrectionist president is that we don't have all these Republicans out there tweeting like MLK quotes. I just haven't seen that, as much of that, because they're also very busy.
The posturing and the attempts to claim a figure of justice and equality and
kind of ironic, don't you think? And on that day where the guys like Scott Walker, I haven't checked his feed. Maybe he put out some, you know, the former governor of Wisconsin, some BS quote of MLK that would, you know, in their mind justify whatever hogwash you're trying to push upon us, that they're focused on and really relishing and celebrating the return of Trump back to the White House, who I wonder, and if you folks want to play along, please do so, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What would MLK think about Donald Trump? You know, I mean, for real, I wish, you think about folks in history and how they would react to today's events, to today, you know. Today's events are tomorrow's history. How would MLK react to this country once again electing Trump into the presidency? I mean, this isn't Bill and Ted's Big Adventures. You know, it's not like Socrates, you know, Socrates, I'm kidding, is coming back and going to tell us all the things we not want to hear. But I just have to assume, based on my extremely limited knowledge, that he would not be fond of the man.
Probably not. Just saying. I think that's a fair guess.
Just saying. All right, folks. I promise, Jess, we get to it, blast it out, and be done with it. There are some lowlights, highlights. There are some clips of the man talking about his return to the presidency. Let's start with cut number one, please, Jess.
Okay.
I return to the presidency confident and optimistic that we are at the start of a thrilling new era of national success.
Now, I know that's a lot of Trumpsters voted for. You voted for this guy, and, you know, Biden wasn't it, and Harris wasn't getting it done, not strong enough, not whatever enough for you. Maybe too female, maybe too black. I don't know. You know, take your pick. Mm-hmm. But whatever you define as success, I would like all of you Republicans and MAGAs to note that and let me know what that is. Is it you know, an increased stock market? Is it lower unemployment? Is it lower prices? I mean, prices were a big thing. Inflation was a big thing. And we've heard now, since Donald Trump won, backpedal. Oh, lowering prices. That's really
it's hard when they go up.
No kidding, dude. Oh, now you say that? But you didn't say that before. So when you omit that particular part, when you said on day one we're going to lower prices, okay. Then how is that being gauged? I just really want to know. If you think it's going to be successful, you think this is the guy you want, what is your gauge of success? I want you to nail that down. We talked about our New Year's resolutions, right? You got to quantify. You got to put a number on it. So, you know, the border crossings are down to what it was before Biden took office. Inflation's down to 3-ish%. Mm-hmm. The stock market's where the stock market's at. It's doing pretty good if you're into that sort of thing. What is unemployment's pretty low? I mean, almost historic low, but still pretty low. There's some work to do. So what is it that is going to, what is he going to do that's going to drive the success? What actions is he going to take, and how are you going to gauge that? I'm just saying, if you're going to call us and you're going to have and jump on this and think that Donald Trump is going to be successful, well, you need to quantify what that means. Of course, it's easy to say success in words like flourish. Let's hear cut two.
From this day forward, our country will flourish and be respected again all over the world.
And are you flourishing any more right now than you were earlier, yesterday, last week, a month ago? You personally, are you? I'm curious to know if that's the case, right? Is it more successful now that this man is in office? Well, we'll find out. We're not going to be taken advantage of. Cut three.
We will be the envy of every nation, and we will not allow ourselves to be taken advantage of any longer.
Okay, whatever that means. Like, what does that mean to you, you Trumpsters out there? What does that mean that we're being taken advantage of as a country? Does it mean that, you know, there's now opportunity for Donald Trump and his billionaire friends to put more money in their pocket? Just curious. The crisis of trust? Well, that's a thing. I'm not sure it's going to get any better with this guy in office. Let's hear cut four, please, Jess.
Today, our government confronts a crisis of trust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For many years, a radical and corrupt establishment has extracted power and wealth from our citizens while the pillars of our society lay broken and seemingly incomplete. Disrepair.
Yeah. Would that be the powerful people who are in the front row?
What, like $11 trillion worth of combined wealth, I think, yeah. I heard Maggie say, versus what, $3 or $4 trillion of combined wealth on lowest 95% of this country? Mm-hmm. I mean, look, all you got to see, look who's in the room. You know what? It's a big club, and you ain't in it. Crisis of trust. Because crisis of trust in many respects. And listen, it's not like everything's perfect. You know, the government is made up of people. People are imperfect. People have their own issues and bring that stuff to the table. In any organization, I don't care what it is, you're going to find that. So there are efficiencies to be had. There is corruption to be whittled out. Granted. But if you think a guy like Donald Trump, given what he has done, man, this guy bulldozed.
He's the corruption.
He bulldozed these pillars of our society in order to get what he wanted. But don't worry about it. The decline is totally over.
From this moment on, America's decline is over.
Oh. Over.
Over. Well, that's again, good to know. How is that measured? I'd like to know. Are we unifying around Trump? I'm just, for the record, I'm not. I'm not.
I'm not.
Listen.
If he had anything worth unifying around, sure.
Right. Lower taxes? But that doesn't even help.
But that's not going to be lower taxes.
Not
for
me. I mean, here's a dollar, and billionaires, here's $100 million. It's just not quite the same. Let's hear him talk about that. Cut six.
As our victory showed, the entire nation is rapidly unifying behind our agenda with dramatic increases in support from virtually every element of our society, young and old, men and women, African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans. Urban, suburban, rural.
No, not entirely the case. Let's not forget, and on all you conservatives out there, Donald Trump did not win 50% plus one of the vote.
No, he did not.
He did not. You do not have a mandate. People are not unifying against him. In fact, people are now laying down the lawsuits and the efforts to stop the unconstitutional executive actions that are coming and are sure to come. This is not a man who cares about the Constitution. Apparently, he took his oath today without putting his hand on the Bibles. Mm-hmm. He had a stack of Bibles, literally like at least two.
There were two there, and he couldn't put his hand on even one of them.
It must have been Melania's fault. I mean, it was the
hat.
The
blocking.
Hat got in the way. Oh, my God. Hey, folks, you know, we're going to get through this together. We're going to wrap up some of this. I'm going to take some of your calls as well, 855-752-4842. The country is unifying, but there's a lot of folks that are out there. There's activist groups that are out there. I think ACLU, some of the immigration groups, are going to push back against this. The guy cannot, by executive order, do away with the Constitution. It's just not going to happen. So now we're going to be bogged down in all sorts of lawsuits, and that's good. And to that degree, if it's going to stop the unconstitutional tyranny of Trump administration number two. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. I promise we'll put some cheese on that broccoli. It'll be just fine.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New presidents often use day one executive orders to move their policy agendas forward. What are the different kinds of presidential orders? What are their limitations? And why do presidents use them? Since John F. Kennedy, presidents have averaged 269 executive orders over their terms. Since 1907, each order receives a number and all are cataloged at the National Archives. There are three different kinds of orders, according to Dr. Bert Rockman of Purdue University. Executive orders are written orders, usually on more weighty issues such as national emergencies or setting uniform policy for government action. Written presidential memoranda authorize or freeze projects, share official positions with Congress, outline treaties in international affairs, and other policy matters. Memoranda are not required to be published or public. A third type are proclamations, such as a proclamation celebrating Juneteenth. Pardons and clemency are not executive orders, but rather a separate power granted by the Constitution. Gridlock resulting from the failure of Congress to compromise on legislation often stimulates presidents to use more executive orders as presidents struggle to move their policies forward. But executive orders can also be blocked by Congress or court review, as President Trump found out in his first term Muslim ban. Find more in the history of presidential orders at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was. When they moved the camera, whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy, joining me at 5 o'clock. Got you folks lining up on the text line and the phone line, 855-752-4842. We'll get to you momentarily, blasting through as fast as we can to the low lights of today's inauguration. Mm-hmm. The immigration. Donald Trump has promise to take immediate immigration action. Let's hear from the man himself.
All illegal entry will immediately be halted, and we will begin the process of returning millions and millions of criminal aliens back to the places from which they came.
We'll send them back to Mars. We'll send them back to Jupiter. We'll send them back to Pluto.
Send them back. Good to know. So no illegal immigration right now. There's none today?
Zero.
Zero today. Zero tomorrow.
Yeah.
Zero the next day.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to be very clear on that. And if there happens to be any...
Then it didn't happen.
It's
Biden's fault.
Oh, that's right. It's just Biden.
Yeah.
How long are things going to be Biden's fault?
Forever. Always.
You know, folks have always been coming here. So it's not going to immediately stop. It's just not going to happen. Now, it could decrease. It has decreased under the Biden administration. Now, obviously, it peaked out. It was low during COVID because, you know, it was a worldwide pandemic. And, of course, Donald Trump implemented his you know, separate the families policy.
Mm-hmm.
Are like 1,000 kids still not with their families?
Missing?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I mean.
Unaccounted for?
You know, it's just rounding errors for Donald Trump. But here's an important one. I know a lot of you folks are down for the immigration action. Now, when he talks about deporting millions and millions of people, we've talked about that quite a bit here on the show as it pertains to the labor force and agriculture here in the dairy industry in the state of Wisconsin and many other industries as well. A majority of folks, not here under the proper papers, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. So if Donald Trump and his cohorts and those folks are successful in this endeavor, they're going to pilfer the entire labor force for the dairy industry. And good luck backing that up. There's a reason those folks are taking those jobs in the first place. I don't think Donnie Jr. or Trump's other kid is going to be out there.
Going to go roll up their sleeves, you know,
start
put
milking
on their
the
boots.
Cows and baling the hay and, you know,
you
taking the
once,
tassels
right?
off. Oh, yeah. I never tell you used to work on a farm? Oh, yeah. Well, we're not going to get too much into that. Let's hear more. This is, again, the inflation. This is what he promised. This is what a lot of the polling, exit polling said was very important to the voters. What's he going to do to fight inflation? Let's hear it. Cut 8.
I will direct all members of my cabinet to marshal the vast powers at their disposal to defeat what was record inflation and rapidly bring down costs and prices.
I'm going to marshal stuff.
Sure,
we're going to marshal, and we're going to rapidly bring down prices. Now, here, this is a waffling. Right? When he was running for at the election during the campaign, on day one, prices are going to come down. And then, as we heard him say at the interview a couple of weeks ago, well, it's really, really hard to lower prices. Now, today, he's back to immediately. It's going to happen immediately. Now, I just looked up for you folks out there, pickandsave.com. Now, Pick and Save, Roundy's, Kroger, I think is the parent company.
Indeed.
Dozen eggs, $4.99. Call it $5.
Mm-hmm.
So, there we can remember, $5.
$5.
So, when are eggs going to get down to $4?
Well, Dom, it should be by tomorrow morning.
Okay. All right. That's what I'm looking for. So I'm going to check tomorrow.
We're going to check tomorrow morning.
We'll see what happens.
With a dozen eggs. We'll go from there.
I'm not going to hold my breath. Let's hear the message to America, Cut 9.
Above all, my message to Americans today is that it is time for us to once again act with courage, vigor, and the vitality of history's greatest civilization.
Vigor of the world, says
the oldest president in U.S. history.
That's not a man who's dripping with vigor.
The oldest alive. He's still younger than Biden
he's
right now.
He's still younger than Biden right now. But if he finishes his full 4 years, he will be the oldest president ever.
So much vigor and Ritalin.
I mean... It always strikes me when I have to cut this audio how poor of an orator he is.
He's just reading, because this is the stuff he's just reading off.
Right. There's no life to it.
Well, and he doesn't, I don't know if he really believes it.
He doesn't.
The stuff he says when he's off the cuff, that's the stuff he believes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to some more of that later. Oh, great. He's going to specify the two gender thing, cut 10.
It will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
Yeah.
Priorities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very, very important. Very important. Reinstating the military, cut 11.
This week, I will reinstate any service members who were unjustly expelled from our military for objecting to the COVID vaccine mandate with full back pay.
Full back pay? That's going to cost some money. What about when they start objecting to other, mandates that are given to them? There's a precedent. He's going to do some renaming. Let's hear that. Cut 12.
A short time from now, we are going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, and we will restore the name of a great president, William McKinley, to Mount McKinley, where it should be and where it belongs.
Priorities.
Wow. New Mexico's waffling right now. They're like, what's going on? Final Trump, we promise, cut 13.
China is operating the Panama Canal, and we didn't give it to China. We gave it to Panama, and we're taking it back.
And the Panamanian president today said, the canal belongs to us, and it's always going to belong to us. So good luck with that. So there are some of the lowlights, folks. Thank you for sticking around, listening to it. Now we have a basis to go from. Right? Mm-hmm. No, we got it. China, Panama, renaming some, some natural land, the Gulf of America. Two genders, a message, we'll fight inflation, immigration action, unifying around Trump. The decline is over. The crisis of trust is over. We're never going to be taken advantage of again, except by Donald Trump when he sells you his meme coins. The guy cannot stop himself. He will not stop himself. But I guess as long as the Trumpsters want to open up their checkbooks for him, okay, I'm less concerned about that than, foreign interests buying Trump's meme coin.
Yeah.
If there's
literally
any concern.
Literally bought and paid for by other countries.
I'm sure it'll be fine. Pam Bondi's going to be on that. Hey, folks, come back with us. 855-752-4842. Going to get you some of your calls and your texts as well.
News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Making a Difference Award recipients have been chosen and announced. The annual awards, which are sponsored by Richland Rejuvenates and WRCO Radio Civic Media, will be presented at the annual banquet held Sunday, January 26th at the Phoenix Center Banquet Hall. The awards that will be presented are Employee of the Year goes to Fred Dillon from Quick Trip Downtown. Business of the Year is Chet's Feed, Seed, and Such. The Outstanding Organization Award is for an organization, formal or informal. The Simons Recreation Complex will be honored with this award this year. Civic Leadership Award goes to an employee of the city, county, state, or other governmental agency who goes above and beyond the call of duty to enhance Richland County. Sandy Campbell will be honored this year. There are many nonprofit organizations that make our county a better place to live and deserve recognition, but this year's recipient is the Union. The Best Face Forward Award recognizes a business or commercial property owner who has improved the appearance of a building or property in the community. This year, the award is going to Muller Auto Body. The Community Stewardship Award is for an individual or couple providing inspiration and vision by touching the lives of Richland County residents. This year's recipient is Jerry Bauer. The Emergency Responder Award will give special recognition to the individuals who risk their lives to save others. This year's Law Enforcement Officer of the Year goes to Kevin Melby and the EMT of the Year to Robin Pearson. The Educator of the Year goes to Jamie Jones from the Richland School District. Medical Hero Award, or Healthcare Professional of the Year, goes to Dr. Robert Smith. The Up-and-Coming Youth Award is meant to recognize someone 18 or under who is making a difference in the community or school. This year's award is going to Ben Hipsch from Ithaca High School. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Hollywood is still mourning the loss of director David Lynch. Tributes have inundated social media the last several days for the Oscar-nominated creative force behind Eraserhead, Blue Velvet, Lost Highway, The Elephant Man, and The Straight Story. Lynch's colleagues are also paying tribute. Sopranos creator David Chase says no one who creates a long-form drama on TV was not influenced by Lynch's iconic Twin Peaks. Lynch was a one-time Wisconsin resident and passed away last Thursday at the age of 78. Speaking of Lynch, actor Kyle MacLachlan says he owes his entire career to David Lynch. The director cast the now 65-year-old actor in Blue Velvet and also made him the lead actor in Twin Peaks. MacLachlan called David Lynch the most authentically alive person he's ever known. That is some serious praise. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With high temperatures barely climbing above zero and winds whipping out of the northwest, it's creating dangerous wind chills. Where highs today are really feeling more like 25 below. A cold weather advisory is in effect now and switches to an extreme cold warning overnight tonight. We're to be feeling 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Currently, it's 1 degree.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Our friend Luke Mathers is in with another edition of What's Grinding His Gears, and we'll take a look at what's worse, grocery or clothes shopping. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey Kay going to join us at the top of the hour. He is the Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, 505. He will be joining us here on the Dom Salvia Show. Got Jess P.S. on the board, 855-75-CIVIC. Got some texters and some callers lining up. Let's get to them. Dick from Madison, I threw out there earlier, of course, MLK Day today. What would the great MLK have to say about Donald Trump? Well, Dick has some thoughts. Hey, Dick, welcome. Happy Monday. What do you got for us?
Well, first of all, on that, I think he'd probably think, I thought we were rid of people like Lester Maddox and George Wallace.
No.
But
man.
Had you heard that, he signed an executive order today banning communism and Marxism? That must mean we're into full-throated fascism. And then this common sense thing, what is the heck is that about? I mean, I said this morning, I don't think of him in the lines of like Will Rogers or Yogi Berra with common sense. The common sense, that's just the craziest thing I ever heard of Trump being equated to. He's trying to sound like the man.
Maybe he's thinking about Thomas Paine. Man, I mean, you know what common sense is, Dick? You know, common sense to me would be like, I don't know, taxing those billionaires that were sitting behind him today. That'd be a common sense thing. Like, those cats should pay a higher effective tax rate than like their secretaries. That would be a logical, commonsensical kind of thing, don't you think, Dick?
I think so. But here, real quickly, though, this is one thing that Will Rogers said that I think Donald Trump would definitely be down with. Almost anything's funny unless it happens to you.
Yeah, man. Strange times. Thanks for playing along with us, Dick. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. It's happening to us right now.
It's not funny.
It's not funny. I'm laughing because I can't cry on the radio.
Right.
There's no crying on radio.
No.
There's no crying on the radio. Ron from Milwaukee, you are next. Happy days, Ron. What do you got for us?
Hi, Dom. I heard a bit of your time with Maggie on her show earlier, and I gathered you didn't really like Biden's decision to issue preemptive pardons, especially for people in his circle. I think I got that right. Tell me if I did.
Yeah, no, I'm not fond of it. It's never been done before. There's no accusations other than Trump, you know, talking trash, and there's no crimes that, to my understanding, have been committed, not by the J6, not by Milley, not by, you know, these other folks. So I'm against it, man. I think it sets a terrible precedent for, you know, going forward. Donald Trump's going to do the same thing, guaranteed.
Well, there is a precedent, which is when Richard Nixon quickly resigned the presidency as the House was preparing to impeach him in 1974, and then Gerald Ford took the presidency. Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon, and it was a preemptive pardon for crimes that he might have been charged with in an impeachment, which he could no longer be charged with, but also criminal charges, which he could have been charged with. Also, I think looking forward, other people have said, well, this just gives Trump an excuse to do it himself later on. Man, he's going to do it himself anyway.
Right.
He's going to, you know.
Let me ask you, though, with regards to that pardon of Nixon, I think to a very large degree, we are in the circumstances we are right now because of that pardon.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. Here's the other thing.
Sure.
Every so often, we got to step up and slap that guy with a wet noodle, which is to say, you can do whatever you want or try to do whatever you want, and we're not just going to kind of whimper and wander away. I don't mean you're whimpering or anything. I think we need to show them that we are willing to stand up to him, even if he's got the upper hand at the moment.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thought here? Immigration. You know what the real underlying bottom line thing is for the right about immigration?
Hmm.
Is that right now across most of the developed world, populations, including in the United States, are not even maintaining a replacement rate. That is, U.S. population is shrinking slowly. People aren't having two kids, in other words.
Right.
And so these right-wingers are afraid that we're going to run into economic trouble unless we sustain the population. And how would you sustain it in that circumstance? You'd have to have immigration like they did in the 1800s. And they're afraid of immigration because all those, you know, brown people and yellow people are going to come over here. And but they don't want to say that. But that's the drive here. And it's just going to happen regardless of what they say.
Well, Ron, I kind of disagree, and thank you so much for the call and your perspectives. You know, some of the megas are out there saying replacement, man. This is purposeful. They're wanting to replace us. It's the replacement theory. Those folks mm-hmm. are saying that right out in the open. And I would also, you know, push back a little bit. There, you know, obviously, there are conservative folks that come into this country from brown and wherever, whatever race or ethnicity or creed, whatever they may be. You know, I think it's ultimately up to the political parties to convince them to go on their side. You know, there's a big groundswell of religious folks in the Latino population, in the black population. You know, I, as the atheist, you know, I kind of recognize some of these things, and that can help push them as well. I mean, I'm not convinced that people coming in would not be convinced by a conservative mindset or a philosophy if it was actually articulated and accurate and held people to account. But that's not what this is. All these things that we talk about with the immigration it's all to divide us, you know. It's all keep us bouncing from one foot to the other, so we're at each other's throats. While those folks, those $11 trillion folks that are sitting behind Donald Trump, continue to add to their wealth.
Absolutely. It's a distraction to keep us working against one another. And it's... We don't have to play that game.
We don't. And we have to. I think it's very important that, Ron, that we identify the monetary problem here, man. I talked with Maggie in case you missed it. And I go on with Maggie on Mondays, a half hour before the show, 3:30 jump in. She comes on with me on Tuesdays for our overtime. But in our discussion, she made the point, like $50 trillion have been pilfered, rolled up to the 1% mm-hmm. from the middle class since like 1980. $50 trillion.
That's a disgusting number.
And you feel like you haven't got a raise in a long time. You feel like you're just, oh my God, the price of eggs goes up a buck a dozen. And it's like, damn, man, you can't get a break. You finally get a little raise. And then, you know, wages go up a little bit, but, you know, inflation goes up more. Well, there's a reason why these things kind of happen, because we're fighting each other over semantics. We're fighting over the crumbs. You want to talk about common sense? Come on, man. Let's recognize what this really is, what it has always been, and what it will always be about. The very rich and the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? And I saw a quote, and I'm going to paraphrase just a little bit as I was reading, trying to avoid some of the stuff over the weekend. Can't entirely stay away from it. But the many standing united can prevail against money. That's it. The many against the money. The many against the money. If we give up on that, man, we got the... They can have all the money they want. They only get one vote. And they can manipulate the algorithms, and they can bombard you with lies and ads and whatever the case may be. At the end of the day, we have the many. We have the votes. We have the ability to shape and dictate the direction of this country, so long as we're united and engaged. But if we're going to be arguing over pronouns and gender and immigration and all the and religion and all the things that divide us, well, man, we're just bouncing around. We're up there cashing the checks.
So what do we do?
Well, we sell out.
Dominic!
No. I'm sorry. That's a totally wrong term. We're not selling out. We're buying in. No, I'm just kidding. yeah, we spread the word, man. We got to recognize it, acknowledge it. Let's get, you know, do you think that's a fair assessment, an accurate portrayal of what the struggle has been in society since there's been a society?
Yes, I do.
So there we go. We have to acknowledge that. We start with acknowledging the problem, right? Is that the problem? I think that's the problem. And Harvey K, our buddy coming out at 5 o'clock.
We know he thinks it's the problem.
FDR thought that was the problem. Lots of folks think this is a problem. Bernie thinks it's a problem. A lot of folks think this is a problem. But if we're not going to address it very specifically, then we're going to be arguing about all this stuff. And these things do matter. You know, LGBTQ rights do matter. The rights of the minority, regardless of the minority, it matters. And I want to be the one supporting and fighting for the underdog all the time, every time. That's what matters. But I can do that and also recognize that there's a point to this. Those cats with that money and those algorithms and all the things that we get shoved into our face and just, yeah, come on, we pay for our own surveillance and our own manipulation, not only through the government, but through our cell phones and the apps that we buy and use and give away our information for free. You know, I have a little plan for that.
Yeah.
I think we need to come up with some legislation that acknowledges everything I do. All the information that is generated from my existence and my effort is mine. And if you want it, you got to pay me for it. That's what I'm saying. I this giving away our data by clicking the OK accept box on my Mac is not acceptable. It's too easy. No, man, this stuff is ours. You cannot give yourself into slavery by checking a box. So regardless of whether or not you acknowledge the fact that they can do whatever they want with that, doesn't matter. I don't think it matters. I think we need to take back our individualism, our efforts, the information that is generated from our existence, paid for with our dollars and our sweat. This is ours. And they take it for nothing. And then they use that information to jam us up and manipulate us and just put us against each other. Come on, people. We got to do better than that. 855-752-4842. Sorry about that, Ron. I got a little excited. Hey, Mark. Mark from the SAC, you are next. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks so much, Dom. And Trump not putting his hand in the Bible doesn't bother me at all. The Bible shouldn't get into it at all anyway. Why call on God to acknowledge the fact that you're just a lying
No, I know. Listen, if I were president, I would not put my hand on the Bible either. I just think it's, I don't know, hypocritical, ironic, funny that, you know, this Lord of the evangelicals, the man who's going to save the world, can't even bother to do it.
Well, he's also a man who has said that he's not a Christian.
That's true.
And as far as common sense, I mean, that was written by Thomas Paine.
Yeah.
Well, Thomas Paine would probably be banned under Trump's thing, you know, no more communism, no more but Marxism, because what Thomas Paine penned, common sense and what agrarian justice and the rights of man, which those guys would probably condemn because they actually, at least agrarian justice, I mean, certainly talked about it, a more socialist society because that they believe that people that have the most wealth, they should be paying the rest of us rent for having all that wealth. I mean, just kind of encapsulated. I mean, then Trump's attitude of this, that what's good for me is right. And they probably pulled that right out of Ayn Rand. And where she got that from is from William Edward Hickman, who kidnapped and chopped up a little girl and ransom for her father. And that's her attitude. I mean, they don't, you know, that perhaps I'm being unjust there, but they're Ayn Rand all the way, and they don't really care about the rest of us, just themselves.
Yeah, well, and they can justify it in any way they want, Mark, and thanks for playing along, man. You know, Ayn Rand, it's a fictional novel, man. You know, I mean, I love Star Wars. You know, those are all sorts of things that I love that had an impact on my life, man. The Force, oh, man, Darth Vader was scary. But I'm not living my entire life off of a base of fiction. And good luck, all billionaires. All of a sudden we start taxing you, where are you going to go? What's your market going to be? If all of a sudden you got to start paying us for that data, what's you going to do when the Dom Salvi Show comes looking for you? Come back with us, 855-752-4842. I got some more of the headlines, and then Harvey K. going to join us at the top of the hour. Stick around.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
The bad news is the world is ending. The good news is there's a party, but you better get here quick.
When you feel like they've written off back
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. No dancing allowed. 855-752-4842. No thumb dancing allowed. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. We've got some texters I have been neglecting because, of course, callers take priority.
Tis true.
But we have some texters. Let's throw some out there. Let's see here. I'm actually going to buy eggs now. Should I wait till tomorrow? Talk about the price of eggs. Well, Matt from Germantown, it's cold out. I'd wait till Wednesday if I were you.
And then report back in. How much did they cost?
Google says $4.99 from Roundy's Kroger / Pick and Save. You know, maybe one of the reasons that, you know, these things are prices are high is because they're, you know, Kroger owns Kroger, Roundy's, Pick and Save.
No,
there's not a lot of. Dumb. You know, I'm just saying, there's a lot of, you know, consolidation in the marketplace. Let's call it. That's a nice way to put it. Another one here. Let's see, Gary from Madison. Whoever is with the gal with Dom is really cool.
Aww.
Yeah, she's cool. Her name is Jess. What else we got? How many Schimmel bucks does it take to buy a Trump meme coin? Judge Brad Schimmel, former Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, then appointed by Walker to be a judge in Waukesha, is the Republican running for Wisconsin State Supreme Court. And while he was the Attorney General, he spent thousands and thousands of dollars to buy commemorative coins that say KAED.
Yep.
That stands for kicking ass
every day.
Kicking ass every day. And as I always say, if you got to say it, probably not doing it, man. I'm just saying.
Wasn't your New Year's resolution to
kick all the ass and take all the names? I quantified it.
You did quantify
it. Yes. Let's see here. Today's show could prove to be challenging. We play the orange blob audio clip. I kill the volume, but I do appreciate the advanced warning, says Kurt from Madison.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I know. All right. That's fair enough. But we had a little tenor.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I didn't watch it today. So it was really, folks, just so you know, a lot of the show is done for my own purposes. Because if Jess doesn't play it for me, I don't even know what really happened. So.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Carrie from Tulsa chimes in. Well, they're already disenfranchising the many, quote unquote. Their money is speech, and it's very loud. You know, yeah, Carrie, a good point. It is loud, and it's hard to drown it out. It drowns everything else out to a large degree. And, you know, that's another issue we have to deal with, and that's the money in politics. And our buddy Tom from L.A., and I know certainly a lot of our callers and friends agree that, you know, hell, even Republicans, I think across the board, folks think that the money in politics, especially the dark, unlimited, uncapped, unregulated money in politics, is destroying this country. And I think, you know, the Citizens United thing, that we need to go back to that. These are legislative issues that we can address. If we all get together doing it again, Republican or Democrat, if you like, and I don't know, I mean, I guess perhaps there's some, you know, rich ass Democrats that are fine, you know, with being told what to do by other rich Democrats. I'm not one of those, man. Congratulations. You're rich. Now what? You know, that doesn't matter to me. What are you doing with that? That's the other side of it. The Citizens United and overturning that has got to be a priority. And I think it's something that can go across party lines. You know, the corruption that it creates is, and especially right now, it's unprecedented. It is unprecedented. And a lot of it, we don't even know. Don't even know what's going on. How much money is being spent, you know, dark money. What's the reason they call it dark money? Because you don't know. And now with the advent of Donald Trump and his meme coins and God knows what else, you don't have to, you know, buy the book to give the money to the politician. You don't even have to stay in the hotel that the politician owns to give them money. Yeah, you don't have to donate it to them directly because then you got to report it. Mm-hmm. Hell, you can just go out and buy the meme coin.
Yes, you can.
There's no regulation on it. There's no nothing. And my big concern, and we'll get to this as time moves on, is the way that the whole crypto industry, the way they're angling. Because you know what they want to do? They want the United States government to guarantee it. And that is some bunk, people. Do not fall for that. You wanna go into crypto? You wanna do meme coins? Knock yourself out.
Have fun.
And I mean, great. Now, you know, when I was growing up, and my mom, they got those Hummel plates. Oh yeah, Hummel plates. Oh, they're little decorative memorable plates. 1971.
Oh, are those the ones with like landscapes on them?
Little kids on them with little birdies and stuff. And, I remember mom bought one of these, and we had a wall of plates. And these things back in the day were going for maybe $1,000 a piece. In the 80s, man, I could have gone to college for a year for the price of one of these plates that are now worth like $100 maybe on eBay. But, you know, that's a collection.
Sure.
You want to get your meme coin as a collection?
Sure.
Knock yourself out. You want to engage in trading of cryptocurrencies? Fine. Do your thing. But I can't take that cryptocurrency and go buy a beer at the Roman Coin. They take cash only. So I don't want that. If it's not regulated by, created by, and by the U.S. government, I don't want us as taxpayers guaranteeing any of it.
Hell no.
Hells to the no, but that's the angle. That's what they're doing. They want the U.S. government to start backing up and buying Bitcoin.
Well, are we going
to
start doing that for, what, Beanie Babies?
This is what I'm saying, man. I got some Hummel plates. My mom's got that could be worth something. Hey, how about the government backed me up on that $1,000 investment my mom made in the 80s? She bought two of them from 1971 because they were going to go up in value. Oh, come on, Mom. And don't get me going on the Fernandez wood carvings. I mean, that's a whole nother thing. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for putting up with the rants. No, the Bitcoin, I appreciate, but there's a reason why that the U.S. dollar is the world's currency. We do not want to start commingling Bitcoin with U.S. currency. Hell to the no. Hard no. And golly knows, the meme coin, is that another? I guess it's throw it all in there. You want to back up Donald Trump's meme coin with U.S. dollars? Come on, people. Hell no. Just keep that away. It's stick to the basics. We're going to get back to the basics on the other side. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Democracy, folks. That's the basics. Come back with us.
Who cares if there's no fire? We'll be rocking in her schwire. That's a party at the end. You sure to must attend. The party at the end.
News from the center, WRCE. Earl Ingram.
How will the incoming presidential administration impact you? We'll discuss with Sandy Williams following Monday's inauguration on Donald Trump.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Hi, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. When the UNCF, the United Negro College Fund, was founded 80 years ago, they hoped that they could change this nation for the better, and they have. As a proud alum of an HBCU, Morehouse College,
I'm an advocate for HBCU. I support the work that UNCF does for students of color, scholarship, and internship for 50,000 deserving students each year. Visit uncf.org today, and remember, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Inauguration Day celebrations moving from the U.S. Capitol to Capital One Arena, where crowds of supporters have gathered for the indoor inaugural parade due to the cold. President Trump, Vice President Vance, and their families arriving to cheers. Earlier, President Trump vowing to usher in a new golden era, reverse policy of the Biden administration, and issue pardons for January 6 defendants.
The planned commutations for those who attacked police goes well beyond what many of his allies anticipated he would extend to the January 6 defendants, and paves the way for potentially hundreds of supporters, some sentenced to years behind bars for vicious assaults on police, to be released in the coming days.
ABC's Karen Travers. Before leaving office, President Biden issued preemptive pardons for people Trump signaled out for possible prosecution, including members of the House January 6 investigation and former Trump Joint Chiefs Chair General Mark Milley. This is ABC News.